the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Bets. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown. Absolutely delighted of always to be joined here with the fantastic Ollie Kay. Haven't had Ollie in the show in a while. We had Ollie on quite often, then he started ignoring my phone calls, sent me the voicemail, and so finally being able to track him down, get him back on the show. Seriously honoured to have this legend on the show. Ollie, how's things, mate?
Very good, very good. I would never ignore your call.
So. See it when it came through. But it's all right. No, seriously, it's you're a busy man, and always good to have you on. Ollie, want to start first of all with Liverpool, because I had Danny Higginbotham on my show yesterday, and we were having an argument about whether Liverpool were progressing under Jurgen Klopp or not. He still seems to think that there's some progression. I'm looking at Liverpool and saying, we're talking about the same things we were talking about last season and the season before that. And why can't they beat the weaker teams? They hammer Arsenal 4-0. They haven't won since. They're dropping points against Sevilla, dropping points against Burnley. Two games they dominate with stupid individual defensive mistakes. They need a goalkeeper. Central defence is poor. They need an out-and-out goal scorer for me. Are they progressing under Klopp?
I think they have progressed, and it's I don't know. It sort of reminds me of the conversations people were having under Brendan Rodgers when they'd had that really really good season and then regressed. It feels a little bit like that, where they've started poorly after a very good season. Look, you know, everybody was raving about the way they played against Arsenal a few weeks ago, but there's always this thing at the back of your mind with Liverpool are they tough enough? Are they strong enough defensively? Are they strong enough to win games when everything doesn't fall into place for them? Because when things fall into place, they are brilliant.
Yeah, they are.
There aren't many teams that are better to watch than them when the, you know, across Europe even, when they're on song, when they're on fire. But it's those games, and you're inevitably going to have those games over the course of a Premier League season, and they had, you know, a lot of them last season, when things don't go their way, when they can't play on their own terms, when their opposition make things difficult for them. And they just seem to... It seems like if they don't convert all the chances they create, which is generally a lot of chances, then they've left themselves in trouble, because every team gets a chance against them. Every team gets, you know, the chance to attack at some point. And if you look at Liverpool the past few years, really, it's almost felt as if you attack against them, you either score or you have a great chance to score. There was a great stat doing the rounds on Twitter the other day about... what percentage of clear goal scoring chances to chances that each team concede, and most teams, so 1 in 10 chances, or 1 in, or you know, 2 in 10 perhaps at a real push is a clear goal scoring chance against them. And with Liverpool, it just the figure I can't remember, but it was absolutely off the scale of Liverpool's figure. It just tells you that when they lose the ball, it's just like a knife going through butter. It's opponents just play through them, whether they want to go long, whether they want to pass it through them, whether they want to go through the middle, around the sides, they're just or put balls into the box. There are so many ways to score against them once you get the ball off them. And that is what Klopp hasn't been able to solve, and it's what Rodgers wasn't able to solve. Both have had, you know, real improvements when the sort of first 12 to 18 months when they've gone there, or sort of, you know, 18 or 12 months to 2 years in Rodgers' case. But it's a case of building on that momentum, and we've seen Liverpool build great momentum under several different managers and then just sort of fall away slightly. That's what they have to make sure doesn't happen this season, because they can't afford to fall away. It wouldn't surprise people if they don't win the title, or don't even challenge for the title. But they need to get back to the level where they were last season, where they looked like a really good team, and that's something they've looked like on occasions, particularly against Arsenal. But there are a few signs that playing, just to continue on that theme, if you look at last season, a lot of people felt they fell down was that they didn't have the strength to sort of play two games a week over the over December, January, and they're having to play two games a week sort of from the start this time because they're in the Champions League. And Klopp's had to do it slightly differently, and he's rotated, and I don't think they've got the squad strength to make seven changes game to game and win them both. And we saw them play well, in many regards in two games last week, dominate two games, and they didn't win either of them at Anfield. And it's partly quality of the defensive players, and I think it's partly organisation. I mean, they leave that they play in a way that is inevitably going to leave more gaps at the back than Manchester United do, or than Tottenham do, or than Chelsea do. Similar to with Man City, they are prepared to throw everyone forward and take the risk that they'll get hurt on the counter attack. But even bearing that in mind, there've been a hell of a lot of individual errors. Even if you say, well, Lovren's no good, Moreno's no good, Mignolet's no good, and people are beginning to say that, but you would still expect all of those players to defend better than they are. So somehow, whether it's with the same personnel, sticking with the same personnel, or changing tactics, Klopp needs to just tighten things up, because at the moment they are conceding so many goals, and particularly at Anfield, and particularly in games that they seem to be dominating. It's that has got to be the worry.
Good two part question here for you with Liverpool. So I had Roy Evans on the show last week, and we were talking about his finishes, third, fourth, third. Today that would be seen as success at Liverpool. Back then it wasn't success at Liverpool, because this was still, of course, shortly after Liverpool had dominated European football and they wanted to win the title. But now there's an obvious gap in terms of resources with City, United, Chelsea that give them a big advantage over Liverpool. The question is, with Klopp, is it fair to ask him to come into Liverpool and ask him to win the title, given the disadvantage that he has? Look, he can still go out and spend money on Naby Keita, but can't consistently compete with a United or a Chelsea or a City in terms of wages. And is he improving players at the club, Ollie? Because if you look at Mourinho, you can see obvious improvement with Marcus Rojo, you can see improvement with Rashford, you can see him improving certain players at the club. Is Klopp improving players at Liverpool, and is it fair to expect him to win the title?
If you look at the situation he inherited, and again, similar to what Rodgers inherited, it was a team that was nowhere near the top four, never mind nowhere near the title. It seemed to be miles off, and he did improve people and improve them collectively that first 12 to 18 months. I mean, last season was a huge transformation from the situation he took over, and it was, I think I can't remember how many points, but it was 75 or high 70s points wise, and loads of goals, and I think it was obvious to me, at least, that he'd improved a lot of players last season. I mean, if you talk, Sadio Mane, excellent player when they signed him, but to me, he moved on a level. Coutinho moved on a level under him, and Lallana, he seemed to improve beyond recognition. It's the attacking players that you'd say, he's improved them, but the defensive players, it seems like no Liverpool manager seems capable of improving, and it's so the improvement needs to be collective. I'd say there has been collective improvement, and that collective improvement turned them from being a team that was nowhere near the top four to a team that was, in my opinion, comfortably the fourth best in the Premier League last season. I know they only finished a couple of points above Arsenal, but I thought they were a top four team. I thought they looked strong for most of last season, apart from that awful period in the middle when they fell away. So I think, yes, he has improved them, and yes, it's also, I mean, you can't possibly have the same expectations on Klopp as you have on Mourinho, as you have on Guardiola, as you have on Conte, because they don't compete in the same market transfer wise. Liverpool tried to do that this summer, and he tried to get Keita, he tried to get Van Dijk, and buying players at the top end of the market. Liverpool weren't able to do that. It wasn't Klopp that wasn't able to do it. It was the constraints of being Liverpool, whether financially or any other way. So I don't think you can have the same expectation on him as you have on the other managers, in the same way that you can't have the same expectation on Pochettino as you have on Conte. And, you know, I'm sure some people say, well, yes, you can. But no, I don't think the same expectation or pressure is on them. I don't think the way Liverpool compete as a club is gives them the same chance, or gives their manager the same chance to win the league as the way Manchester United and Manchester City and Chelsea operate as a club.
Let me ask you, but of course, Wayne Rooney across town. I thought the scoreline flattered United a bit the weekend. Not a bit, quite a bit. Mm. But obviously, all the headlines in the international week once again surrounding Wayne Rooney. Ollie, he's going to come and say he felt let down by him. I understand that. I worry about Wayne Rooney. I was also talking to Kenny Sansom last week. Of course, we all know about Kenny's problems. And Kenny was intimating that Wayne also has gambling issues. I don't know. I wouldn't claim that to be correct. But do you worry about Wayne Rooney and his habits off the field and what that could lead to once his football career is over?
To be honest, it's too early to say. I mean, you know, there have been various headlines about Rooney and gambling at times, and you know, not about sort of Kenny Sansom levels of
sure,
drinking,
of course,
but you know, but about you know, little scrapes that he's got himself into, when having a drink around, you know, in the pubs and bars of Cheshire, and it's, you know, we're talking probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 little scrapes over the course of a, what's it been, 15-year career. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe more of them lately. Would that be possible? No, I don't know. It's 1 or 2 things lately. And you know, I don't know if that sort of label seems to attach itself to him in a way that it probably doesn't do with other players. But the answer is, I don't know. I mean, if he's drinking as much as the average footballer does currently, or more than the average footballer does currently, well, you would imagine he could be in a situation where he drinks more after he's retired. But I honestly don't know. I wouldn't seek to judge Rooney in that respect.
Sure,
the question is, the more pressing issue, or the more serious issue in many ways has been, you know, is he being professional enough to make the most out of his career? And obviously, the issue with it, you know, the drink driving charge, that's putting your life in danger and other people's lives in danger.
Right.
So I think that is a much bigger issue there than whether we might have a sore head going to training one day. But it's
absolutely,
I don't think anyone should be under the impression that he's an extreme drinker at all. I don't think he would have lasted 15 years at the top level if he had been.
Yeah, and I think he does deserve the benefit of the doubt when it comes to putting those labels on people, as I think you're quite right. And I think one of the things that Rooney suffers from, he's actually a really approachable guy. He's actually quite a nice guy. And I think that, you know, he lets people get close to him, get pictures with him, who then proceed to embarrass him the next day.
Mm.
I've met him a couple of times, and he's always been a really, really nice guy. So I hope that it's not sense of a bigger problem. On top of that, Chelsea, of course, they drew this weekend with Arsenal. Ollie, it's way too early to say whether Chelsea are going to do what they did last season, or whether, if you look at how they started last season, they didn't start well. They ended up coming on strong. But there's a different league this year, because Man City are much more complete, United are much more complete, and Chelsea, I think, weakened themselves over the summer. And, of course, Conte has Champions League football this season. Would it take much for things to implode at Chelsea?
It never seems to take much for things to implode at Chelsea. There, you know, there always seems to be a sort of fragility around it, and fragility around relations between managers and the owner. But it's you know, there was a very delicate, fragile situation over the summer there with Conte, and he was unhappy about sort of differences between the club's transfer policy and his own, and or transfer strategy and his own. And he wanted more signings in. I mean, they spent a lot of money in the end. Zappa Costa and Morata and Bakayoko and Rudiger, Caballero. But you know, he wanted them to spend more, and he wanted a deeper squad. And he doesn't believe he's got quite the squad depth that he needed in order to go from being champions in a season where they didn't have Europe to champions in a season where they're in the Champions League as well, which is, you know, as we said with Liverpool, it is an additional burden, additional problem, yeah. and an additional pressure. He went through almost the entire season playing sort of 13 or 14 different players for the most part last season, sort of rotating a few of them, but generally sticking the same core of players. He won't be able to do that this season if they go far in the Champions League, if they go far in the other cups too. So it's a different pressure. Everyone thought they would find it a little bit harder this season. Everyone thought they would have the same, you know, a bigger challenge from the two Manchester clubs in particular, and that's really how it's turned out so far. I mean, those first three home games, they've drawn, you know, they lost at home to Burnley, and they've now drawn quite disappointingly, really, at home to Arsenal, which are two games that, they would have expected to win. So they've got a bit of catching up to do, and they need to get back into, you know, they need the sort of autumn surge that they had last season, which turned them from sort of being early season crisis club into runaway champions. But I don't think they will be runaway champions this year, because I think the best they can hope for is to be part of a three horse race with the two Manchester clubs, and to hope to be the one that emerges in the end of that. But that is going to be tough. I get the feeling we're moving on to them, aren't we?
We're about to. Let me ask you about the two Manchester clubs, because these two Manchester clubs have improved immensely over the summer. You know, obviously, you know, I'm a United fan. Very rarely have I seen Manchester United. There are a few players in history that have done this, but completely transformed United and look completely different with just the addition of one player. And Nemanja Matic has completely transformed Manchester United. Not just released Pogba, but give him Mkhitaryan freedom. He's crucial in the build-up of play. United don't have the weapons that Man City have. They've got a better goalkeeper, more suited to the daily grind of week in, week out Premier League football. What's your take on the two Manchester clubs, Ollie?
I would agree with that. I would say City have the sort of more sparkling array of attacking talent, and that United have the stronger defence and goalkeeper, and as you say, appear more suited to that grind of Premier League football, and it does become a grind. It does become a slog over the winter, and I've been really impressed with both of them so far. I don't think you could fail to be impressed. I think most people. It's probably the kind of start that most people expected from them last season. And of course, United fell away after winning their first three games. They fell away fairly dramatically after winning their first three games last season. And City fell away fairly dramatically after winning their first six. So there should be a little bit of caution in terms of people saying, oh, they are sensational, they are brilliant. But they certainly look vastly improved. They certainly look like teams that are built to challenge for this title, and they certainly look like they're ready to sort of leave the rest of the Premier League trailing in their wake. But it's the question marks against them, about them both really is well, United, do they have enough attacking quality to win the tight matches, the number of nil-nils and 1-1s they had at home in particular last season, you know, have they got the X factor that is needed creatively, you know, in the way that City have? City have all those, you know, wonderful players, the two silvers, Sterling, Sane, Jesus, Aguero, you know, all those players who are capable of doing something different. Do United have enough of those? Do those players have enough creative freedom to do it on those sort of frustrating days? And the, I guess the, you know, the opposite is true really of City. It's a question of whether they have the mental toughness, the physical toughness to do it on those days when they're not allowed to play on their own terms. I think, you know, that they've been fantastic those last three games against Liverpool, Feyenoord and Watford. 15 goals, is it? 16 goals?
I think they both did.
15 without reply,
right.
In those last three games. And but you would probably look at them and say, well, did those three teams make it difficult enough for them? And look, it's going to be hard for teams to make it difficult for City, but did those teams test them as much as, you know, for example, no, I'm not going to throw an example, but because I'll be cliched about it, but they will have tougher tests. And
yes, of course.
And the question would be, it's to some extent, I mean, if you look at how they played last season, it was so brilliant the first couple of months, and then it's like the clocks went back. And their form was all over the place almost until the clocks went forward again, or the other way around in the spring. You could begin to suspect, are they a fair weather team? Are they a team that's great when the sun's shining? Now that is probably an unfair generalisation, but it's a more serious issue of whether they have the strength to sort of slog it out, grind it out over a long Premier League winter without a break. That's the question mark about City. The United question mark is a different one. It's about whether they've got as much creative quality, as much goal scoring quality as City. It's not a vast difference in style, but I think there is a difference in style, difference in the make of the team, difference in the profile of players that both managers have signed. I think it's set up for a really exciting race, interesting race.
I think what we're seeing with both of them is massive improvement from what we've seen before. I think City have improved from under Pellegrini, and the improvement with United under Mourinho is incredible from what we've saw in the previous years, and you're quite right. Whatever ends up happening, I think you're seeing two teams that are getting better and better. So we'll see what happens. Ollie, mate, I'll go ahead and leave it there. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, yeah.
I was just going to say they needed to get better.
Of course.
They both underachieved last season. I know.
Big time.
I had Herrera saying, we won three trophies last season. I thought, three trophies?
All right.
You're including the Community Shield and the competition that is for the, you know, the second tier clubs, and the competition, the League Cup, which everyone goes, you know, I hate it when people demean trophies, but I also think you can't say that United's season was resoundingly successful in terms of progress as a team last season, because it wasn't. The Premier League form was disappointing. Mourinho's admitted that, and it's needed to improve in a really big way. And you know, they've got more room for improvement than City. I mean, City were disappointing, but at least they were, you know, vaguely on Chelsea's coattails. United need to improve more. They need to score more goals. They've been scoring more goals. That's going to be interesting. It would be great to think that the title race, the sort of Pep Jose City United title race that didn't happen last season, that it would happen this time. But it would also be great if one or two of the others would keep pace with them.
Yeah, that it really would, and what that would look like second half of the season with the mind games between these two would be really, really interesting. Ollie, mate, as always, it's wonderful to have you on the show, wonderful to catch up with you. Let's not leave it so long next time, and I'll get you back on pretty shortly. Brilliant to talk to you. All the best, mate.
Okay, Angie, thanks very much.
Cheers. Ollie, bye.